Great. And to start with a small story. How many of you have heard of Abraham Lincoln? You have? Great. Do you know that some time before he became the president of America, he was working in a small store in a small town. He was just a store boy. And this store sold guns. And there were several guns in the window of the shop. And one day a man came and he looked at this shiny gun that had beautiful engraving on the handle, and it was really beautiful. And then there were some not so good-looking guns. And so he went into the shop and he asked Abraham, "How much is this shiny gun for?" And just let's say it was for $50. And he said, "Great." And he said, "Just by the way, how much are these guns for?" And he said, $75. He said, "The shiny gun costs less than the ordinary looking ones. Why?" He says, "Because those shoot better." And so the farmer bought the $75 gun. I have a message that's been on my heart for a long time. And when I say a long time, I mean a few years. And I've been saying, "God, what do you want me to speak about this morning?" Just a second. Andrew, your snare. And I felt God saying, "This is the message for the season. This is the message for this year." You're wondering what he did. It has a thing underneath that picks up vibration and starts to rattle. So when you turn it off, it stops rattling. That's what anyway. So I said, "God," and he said, "I want you to share it today." As Colin has been doing the vision series, this falls in line with what Colin has been sharing. I might not go through it point by point because I really want to share from my heart. But I believe that there is a message here for everyone, whether you're a new Christian. Just to know, how many have been a Christian under 3 years? Under 3 years, okay. Under 10? Over 10 years? 20? 30? 40? Okay, last man standing. So no matter where you are in your journey in Christ, there is something for you today. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts, okay? Holy Spirit, we invite you. We don't want to just hear, like Paul said, "I don't want to come with eloquent words, but I want to come in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit." That you will touch every heart. God, that we would be transformed inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my text for today, and I think you will get where I'm going. If we read Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no revelation or vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the man who heeds wisdom instruction." 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance." I have fought the good fight of faith. I have run the race that is marked out for us. What a beautiful way to end life's journey here on earth. In Philippians 3:12, it says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal," and that's where we are right now, "but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of me." And may that be the prayer and the passion of each of our lives. The title of my message today is the future will write your history. The future will write your history. What will it say about you? Last Sunday we heard about Jim Elliot, right? And how he went to Ecuador and he was speared. He's also famous for a quote, which some of us know. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Now, we may never go to Ecuador. We may never go to far-off places. We may never lose our life for the sake of the gospel. And that doesn't disqualify us for living with the same kind of purpose, passion, and perspective that ends in eternity. That is the call of every Christian. So, the question is, what legacy will you leave behind? And this is something we really, really need to ask ourselves. Whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, 40s, or 50s, you need to start thinking, what legacy am I going to leave behind? Whether you like it or not, you're going to leave one behind. Either unintentionally or by design. Better it be by design. Will your life be ornamental, like that shiny gun? Or will it be instrumental that will actually fire straight and hit the target? The choice is really ours. You know that God gave us a free will, right? And we always have the right to choose. What choices will we make in life? But to answer that question, we first need to recognize certain things. We need to understand that we were created on purpose for a purpose. We are not here because of random molecules banged together and boom, something happened. We are not here by accident. We are not here by chance. You are not a mistake. And I just want to speak to some people here. Maybe your mom said, you were not planned. You were a mistake. Ooh, I wanted a boy. Ooh, I wanted a girl. I want to break those words off you right now in Jesus' name. Because when you were fashioned in your mother's womb, you were a God idea. You have been a God idea. Do you know when? Let's see when. Psalm 139, verse 4 and 15 says, "For you formed me in my mother's womb. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I fear you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him we were chosen and have been predestined according to his plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose and his will." We are God's idea, my friends. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork or workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance." That's even, when was this written? Approximately 2,000 years ago. Way before you were born. What is God saying? You are God's handiwork, created to do good works, which God prepared. What did he prepare? The good works, way, 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 way back. So imagine this. Even before God said, "Let there be light," he said, "Let there be Meher, and let there be Austin, and let there be Sheba, and let there be Asha." At that time, that must blow your minds, my friends. That must blow your mind. God planned you way before your parents even thought about you. I think it's a good time to thank God for our lives. Yeah? Can we raise our voices and say, thank you, God, I'm alive. Thank you, you created me. Thank you, you formed me in my mother's womb. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He is that master planner and craftsman, and he does not waste his resources. He made you and he chose you. Okay, I want you to accept that deep down in your heart. And this came at a high cost. God had a plan and a purpose right in the Garden of Eden, and that came to naught because of sin. But God's plan was always for restoration. And when he restored us back to him, he also restored our purpose and our design back to us. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, come and meet one of us. So knowing that you have been created by God, okay, is critical to your purpose. It is critical. Unless you reconcile, you are reconciled to the Creator, you will never be free from a useless existence. If you want to know how to live this life that is purposeful, that is marked with destiny on this earth, you need to know your Creator. You may say, how do you call this life useless? Are not people doing some great stuff on the planet today? Yes, they are. But when you look at things from the vantage point of eternity, what is important and what isn't changes. Nobody on his deathbed said, I should have spent more hours doing X, Y, Z. Invariably, it comes back to things that are important, like family, relationships, loved ones. So what is really, really important? Let that grip our hearts this morning. Christians can also live carelessly. Someone was asking me sometime, can a Christian sin like this? Can a Christian do this? Can a Christian do that? I said, a Christian can do worse, my dear. You know? Right? Just the tag Christian, or just that because you are born again, does not immunize you from sin or making wrong choices. Please understand that. You are not in a immune vacuum bubble that will protect you. God never took away our ability to choose. God never took away our ability to have our free will. Many Christians have hearts have grown cold, and in Peter, and he talks about it. In the last days, hearts will grow cold. People will wander off. The love of money will grab them somewhere else. People will wear themselves out to get rich. Okay? Do not be fooled. Do not be dulled. Do not be complacent. Being saved is only just getting off the starting block in this eternal relay that we are all running in. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, let us throw off everything. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, verse 2, let us throw off everything that hinders us and entangles us, and let us run the race marked out for us. We all have a race marked out for us. But that race is also a relay. Someone passed me the baton when they shared the gospel with me, and I am running. And now I am in a season where I am passing on things to others. So we all have either just taken a baton, or we're running, we're somewhere in the middle of our race, and even in the middle of our race, we are passing different batons on to different people. We'll come to that. And then the next ones run on. Is there someone you're passing a baton on to? We need to find out. So 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, see that when you build, it says, you build on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones. You may build with hay or straw. His workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will be saved. But if it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So we need to know that we have been created and created for a purpose. What are we building our lives for? How many of you have heard of the story of Alice in Wonderland? Yeah? Alice, she asked the cat, okay? She said, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat said, "Well, where do you want to go?" And Alice said, "I don't care where." And the cat said, "Then it doesn't really matter which way you go. Do you know where you're going? Because if you don't, it really doesn't matter. Left, right, straight, back, who cares? But you know that you have been purchased on purpose, for a purpose." What an amazing way to live. We have destiny written over each of our lives. And an amazing destiny, an amazing destiny. How do we do this? As I said, first, acknowledging your Creator and that you have been created by design. The second is sustainability. Finishing strong, my friends, is vital. Many of you have probably heard, well begun is half done. It's only half done. We have a long race to run. 70 plus years here on this earth, and then right into eternity. What we do in these 70 plus years matters. Matters not just for here and now, but matters right into eternity. Can we keep that fire burning for the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years? Can we keep that fire burning for Jesus? Even after 40 years of being a Christian like myself, there is nothing that I can take for granted. I need to be rooted in Jesus on a daily basis. My salvation is not at stake, don't get it twisted, okay? But how I walk this life matters on my daily choices that I make. I need daily manna from God. I cannot live on last year's promises. Last year's promises are there to give me faith for the future. Because I can point to them and say, "God, you were with me yesterday. You will be with me today. You're not going to let me down today. You are going to be there in my tomorrows." They are just a reminder that God is faithful. So, building a legacy is very much part of God's character and his DNA. Apart from the fact that God created you for a purpose, we need to understand that we are also image bearers of God. We have been created in his image and likeness. There's a lot of God's character and DNA that is in us. When we gave our lives to Jesus, it says we became new creations. I believe something miraculous happened. Not just that our dead spirit came to life, but I think something in our entire wiring changed. Something in our makeup changed. Why? Because you no longer enjoy sinning. That tells me there is a change and a transformation that has happened deep inside of you. Deep inside of you. Your desires have changed. Once you enjoyed this, now you enjoy this. Once you hated this, but now you love it. Something has changed. We have been created to create, to care for, and to contribute to the earth. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "You have been created to create, to care for, and to contribute." That command that God gave in Genesis 2, to fill the earth, to multiply, and to subdue the earth, has not changed, my friends. We have the same mandate. God gave stewardship and multiplication to Adam and Eve, God gives stewardship and multiplication to us. How do I know this? Read Matthew 18, 28 to 30. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the earth, doing what? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. We have been called to make disciples and be disciples of Jesus. The process of multiplication and that responsibility is upon each of us. What a privilege. What a privilege. It wasn't just there in Genesis. It wasn't just there in Matthew. It's there in Revelation. Okay? Oops, daisy me. Yeah, am I right? Yeah. In Revelation 22:12, he says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to his deeds. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working to the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Christ Jesus, or the Lord Christ, that you are serving. So there is nothing sacred and secular, my friends. You've heard me say this before. Whether you're working in a lab as a technician, you're working as a research scientist, you're working in IT, you're doing wheel alignments, you're testing cars, you're teaching law, you're doing accounts, you're teaching Shakespeare, you're doing everything, or you're cooking nice dosas at home. You're doing everything to the glory of God. There is absolutely nothing that is not covered in our life as a Christian. Do you know some of the greatest inventors and scientists were Christian? Thomas Edison, Newton, the greatest artists, the greatest musicians, they did some amazing things. Okay, the Wright brothers. They did that all for the glory of God. How many of us here are going to change science and history because of the mandate God has put on you? How many of you are going to come out with formulas for finance? Your names are going to be there written. You're going to make a difference to this world. See, I'm a world changer. Brothers and sisters, let's have a big, big, big vision for life. Life is not just 9 to 5, Sunday morning, a little worship. God is interested that you succeed in your place of work and you make a difference. Your name starts coming up in the newspaper. Have you ever dreamed of that? It can happen, my friends. It can happen. Come on. Think big, dream big. God gave the mandate of changing the world to us. Let us make a difference. Let us make a difference. God spoke a lot, Jesus spoke a lot about stewardship, okay, and multiplication. He spoke about the parable of the talents. Jesus always came back looking for what? ROI. What is ROI? Nope. Return on investment, okay? Return on investment. He always came back looking for, even the fig tree he cursed. Okay? He looked for fruit not in season. Blows my mind. Okay? But yep, he looked for fruit. Do you know that there are more than 40 verses that talk about rewards? Go check it up. Rewards is a serious business, my friends. It is serious. And like I said, before we get it all twisted, we are saved by grace. We clear on that? We are saved by grace. We are not saved by works, but we are saved for works. We are not doing stuff to gain acceptance. We've already been accepted. We are not doing things to get identity, we live from a place of identity. We are the sons and daughters of God. We have been blessed to be a blessing. Okay, don't say, bless me, God, then I'll bless. No, he says, I've already blessed you. Now go be a blessing. We live from a place of victory. We don't fight for victory. Victory was already won on the cross. So when we know our identity, we will know our destiny. So now we... See, I'm not good with all this, yeah. I did something. I'm sorry. So now what? What version of Christianity will your children or your grandchildren enjoy because you invested in the kingdom? Will it be a diluted version, or will it be an even better version than you and I have experienced? Trust me, you are enjoying a better version of Christianity than I did when in the 70s and the 80s. We were bound up in a lot of legalism. And then God set us free as more and more revelation came about the Word of God and how we ought to live. We began to understand the message of the grace of God. And today we know a dimension of the grace of God we didn't know 20 years on. And there is still so much more to discover. Why? Because he is an infinite God. We are not done with knowing his ways. There is so much more. So what will your kids get? What will your grandchildren get? Will they get a diluted version because you lived a life of compromise? Or will they get something even better because you lived a radical lifestyle for Jesus? Now, we've had people come and go in our church, and there used to be this family that every other weekend was here, there, everywhere, holidays, you know. And then the father comes to us and says, oh, pray for my son, he's not walking with God. And I thought to myself, funny, isn't it? You don't value church. You don't value the presence of God. You don't value being with God's people. Your walk with God is weak, but you want your son to be living something else. Is it possible, my friends? We got to walk the talk. Okay? We've got to live from inside out. What version of Christianity will the next generation get? Our ceiling needs to be the floor of the next generation. I have reached a certain, I haven't reached my limit. I still have a good 25, 30 years left in my bones, and I've got a lot to learn, and I've got a lot more to give. But when I reach my ceiling, which is when I reach the end of my days, whenever that is, that has to be the floor on which the next generation goes. Even in the way I disciple people, okay? What took me 20, 30 years needs to take the next generation only 5. Why? Because they don't need to learn from my mistakes. They have not had to fight the battles I've had to fight. They get a leg up because I'm giving you a leg up, okay? And you can run faster and further than the generation before you. That is me. You guys, you've got everything going for you. Yeah? You have so much in store for you. I want you to start, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to open your heart and your mind to dream big. Dream big for your life, your family, your work, what God wants to bless you with spiritually. Say, God, open my mind to receive. Because it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those whom he loves. You know, it says how high, how wide, how deep, how low, how whatever strong is the love of God in Christ Jesus. He is huge. And what he has in plan for you is huge. You need to find out. Okay? So legacy builders think about quality, not just about their life here on earth, but for generations to come. They're not just living for themselves. They're saying, what am I leaving behind? Are you a legacy builder? Mature sons and daughters in the house of God will learn to be contributors and not consumers. They will learn to broaden their shoulders and be burden bearers rather than be a burden. We know that we've been bought with a high price. But there are two ways we can live, even after being born again. And right now is a moment of truth, and I want you, this is between you and God. And say, Holy Spirit, will you search my heart? I'm about to put up a table. And this is between you and God. Ask yourself, which side do you have ticks? We all have ticks on both sides, okay? At the end of it, I want you to do a mental total of how many ticks you have on the left and how many you have on the right, okay? Let's go through this. Stewardship is when a child of God has good identity, and entitlement is when a child of God has poor identity. Stewardship lives from a surrendered life. Entitlement lives a self-centered life. Stewardship seeks to serve. Entitlement seeks to be served. Stewardship, you are a contributor. In entitlement, you're a consumer. In stewardship, you live with gratitude. In entitlement, you feel entitled. Stewardship, you want to please God. In entitlement, what is it? God, please me. Have you seen that? The ones that come with, bless me, God, bless me, God, bless me, God. But there is no thought about how can I serve God? Stewardship looks to bless others. Entitlement seeks to be blessed all the time. Stewardship is generous. Entitlement is stingy. Stewardship multiplies resources. Entitlement depletes resources. Stewardship is always giving. Entitlement is demanding. What about me? What about my needs? What about my this? What about my that? Stewardship is involved. Entitlement is disconnected. Stewardship is submitted. Entitlement is independent. Oh, why do I have to listen to the leaders? Why do I have to do this? Why should gym be on a Wednesday? Why can't it be on a Saturday? Why can't it be at 7 o'clock? Why does it have to be at 8 o'clock? Independent spirit. Stewardship handles the resources in a kingdom way. Entitlement handles resources in a self-centered, indulgent way. Everything we have belongs to God. Do we seek His counsel and how we use our resources? Stewardship is others-oriented. Entitlement is self-focused. Stewardship is satisfied. It says, my boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Entitlement is always needy. It's never enough. Stewardship is, you can be counted upon. You are dependable. Entitlement is inconsistent. You turn up one day, you don't turn up the other day. You say you're coming, you don't turn up. Word of grace can be like a greenhouse. As long as you are in church, you can thrive spiritually and you may appear to thrive even. I knew a girl who used to be in church way back in Bombay. She was there at everything, happy-go-lucky, party girl, beer at everybody's birthdays, yay, woe. But when the storms of life came, she disappeared. Why? Because the roots were not strong. You have to forge your own history with God. What happens if you're taken out of this environment? Will you continue to thrive? Or is it an external force acting upon you? If transformation is not inside out, we will only have behavior modification and not heart transformation. Allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you on the inside. I know people who've been in Word of Grace, seem to thrive here, gone to other cities, and you don't hear about their spiritual walk anymore. It's sad. But my friends, that onus is not on Pastor Colin. It is on you. Obedience quotient. because the storms will come. The storm came to the wise man and the foolish man. It didn't say if, it said when the storm came. What will be left standing, my friends? We must forge our history with God. We have to, that is our responsibility. Your capacity to absorb what is being taught is down to you. That's a choice you make. So my prayer is for each one of us is that we will be able to say, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have run the race, and now there awaits a crown for me. And we're promised not just one, but several crowns. So here are some keys that will help you in your legacy building. Okay, the first one, presence. I cannot overstate this one. We must have a walk with God. Part of our tagline, the first one in our tagline is enjoying God. If we move away from that, my friends, we are finished. You will not last, trust me. Mighty preachers and miracle workers of God have fallen. Do you know why? And studies have been done, and they said one of the first, they said six or seven things that they began to neglect. Top on the list is their quiet time. Because they thought, I'm a Christian 40 years, I don't need to read my Bible every day. That is the biggest mistake you can ever make. Your daily walk with God is important. As C.S. Lewis says, relying on God has to start all over every day as if nothing has ever been done. If you're struggling to see fruit in your life, check the roots, my friend. Check your roots, because you cannot produce fruit that is any different from the roots. Okay? Check the roots. Your quiet time is important. Is Christ the cornerstone of your life? Does our thinking and our lifestyle reflect the kingdom? Second is providence. The five P's. Okay, I'm giving you. Know that God's favor rests upon you. He is your provider, and He will give you more than you can ask or imagine. He goes before you. He is behind you. He is in you. God knows you, and He's got your back. As Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision or supply. Okay? Don't neglect His presence. No, He is your provider. Have the right perspective. Don't live just for today or for the next 5 years. Have an eternity perspective. Where will your life end 70 years from now? Do you know that you've got rewards stored up for you? You know, Jesus could have saved us and left it at that, and we would still need to be grateful. But He is generous to a fault. He is a good, good Father who lavishes us immensely. Come to me and I will tell you story after story of God's lavish grace upon our lives. Like Jim Elliot said, when you have the right perspective, you can say, He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Live with purpose. Live with intent. Know your destiny. Don't be a drifter. Before you know it, 5 years is up, isn't it? We keep saying, gosh, Jan is over. Can you believe it? We're already in Feb. Before you know it, another 5 years will go by. Practical things, have personal goals. I regularly write goals. I may not hit all of them, but at least I hit some. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Listen to people who help you keep that motivation. I listen to a person called Terry Sewell Foy. You can write it down. And she's a Christian. She's the daughter of Jerry Sewell Foy, great man of faith. Okay? And she gives you great biblical motivation to keep your dreams alive. 5-minute talks, 7-minute talks on practical things on how to keep your focus and keep your perspective. As Francis Chan said, our greatest fear should not be failure. but succeeding in things in life that don't really matter. What a tragedy that would be, isn't it? What a tragedy. Number five is passion and perseverance. As Paul tells Timothy, fan into flame the gifts that God, that is something we do. How do you fan into flame? You listen to messages, you read books, you stay in fellowship, you value these things. And if it is something in your field, you stay in touch with the latest technology. What is the latest in research coming up in your field? Stay in touch. Keep the fire burning. Try out new things. Learn new skills. Be a learner. Okay, never take the L plate off. The world is progressing at such a fast rate, my friends. We've got to keep learning. I am learning. I'm constantly learning. I have to learn. If I don't learn, we won't survive in the business world. Keep learning. Keep adapting yourself. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. The day you stop, you stagnate and you disintegrate. You die, you will not progress. There will be regress. This passion can only be sustained in the presence of God. And when things don't go the way you want, or don't go in the timing you want, will you trust God? Will you trust Him who knows the stars in the sky and calls them by name? Can you trust Him to bring you through? God spoke to me about songwriting when I was 18 years old. And I had to sit on that dream for the next 30 years, much like Joseph. For many reasons that I don't want to get into because it's not nice. Okay? Part of it was things that happened to me, like Joseph. But part of it was also my own problem. I gave into a victim mentality. And when you sit down there and you cry, nobody's going to help you up. Okay? And once again, I had to learn to say, God, if you've given me this gift, then you're going to help me. 7 years ago, the dam burst. And since 7 years, I have written more than 50 songs, I think around 20 of which are sung here today. God is faithful. He is more than faithful. Sometimes the delay is because of our own stupidity. Sometimes it is other things. There is opposition. Okay? But God comes through. Trust in His timing. So, have you heard this phrase? Success, overnight success, takes 20 years. If anybody tells you that there's overnight success, you don't know the story backstage. You may say, wow, how do you write songs? Yeah, I'll tell you what happened 30 years before. Okay? Overnight success takes 20 years. Will you be a legacy builder, my friends? I want to be a legacy builder. I'm not a bricklayer in the house of God. I am like that man who said, I'm not laying bricks, I am building a cathedral to the glory of God. Amen? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. But for the grace of God, I am what I am. And this is His grace given to me, is not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. And that I want to be my prayer as well. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Let us live this life worthy of the calling of Jesus. Let us fight the good fight of faith and not give up and not get tired of doing good. Because when we build a legacy that will last forever, one day the future will write your history. Amen. Let's stand. Let's ask God to be with us.